becoming the dad God intended. God has entrusted us with a very special gift, our children. We're going to explore how dads can be intentional toward fathering. That's my basic thing, is being intentional. Let me do a brief introduction to myself. My name is Rusty. I live in Southwest Houston. I have two daughters, Susan and Sharon. Susan's a sophomore in college, and Sharon's a senior in the local high school. I'm an engineer by training. My wife is Cindy. We've been married for 26 years. And about 6 months ago, I got this nice little call from Peter to say, would you like to do a workshop? And I thought of the things I normally do, and he said fathering, and I thought, okay, so we're going to do this. And I hope you all enjoy it. What we're going to do is we'll have a little Bible study to begin with. I won't do too much interaction, a lot of questions, because I want to get to the second part, which I'll have y'all break up. I'll give you a piece of paper for that. One was kind of a little personal thing that you get to do. And then there'll be a group time that you can talk about that and a second part of it. And I'm going to focus on a three-letter word. Do you get these three-letter acronyms a lot? Well, this one's going to be real hard. T-R-Y. Try. That goes along with the intentional. T is going to be your time. R is going to be the resources that you have. And Y is for you. Now, four of you have a card like this. Raise your hands. Four of you have a card. What I'm going to have these people do is read the scriptures in their translation and have someone next to them read it in another translation so you can hear this. And we're going to use the sheet that's in front of you for a quick Bible study. For those of y'all who have already looked up Malachi, you can't answer this question. How does the Old Testament end in the way we have the Bible? Now, only people who's got their Bibles closed try to answer. What subject in Malachi does the Bible end on?
Send Elijah.
I was thinking of who's got the Malachi passage?
Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. The preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse.
Okay, and the other translation?
He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So I will not come and smite the land with a curse.
It really ends on fathering. We're to turn our hearts to the children and children to the fathers. Now, I have a little space for you to write something. And my key statement is, who turns first? What's the order there? The fathers to the children. And then the response, hopefully, will be the children to the fathers. So that's the first point I wanted to get to. We're going to go through this fairly quickly. The second one is Ephesians 6:4. Who's got that? Go ahead and read it.
Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Okay. And the second person?
Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
The white sheet you have in front of you, turn it over. Just turn it over a second. I want to do a little experiment and see what happens here. I want to have these guys read those verses again. And what I want you to do is write down the key word or phrase that hits you from that verse. Okay? Would y'all read that again from both of you, please?
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Okay. So take just a moment and write down the key word or phrase, not the whole verse now, just a key word or phrase that hits you on that. And I want to see what statistics we get here. Is everyone about done? I see people writing, so I'll wait a minute. Okay. Raise your hand if you had instruction, discipline, or something like that. Raise your hand. Okay. What other words or phrases did you have? Go ahead.
Exasperate.
Okay. How many put exasperate? I think that's probably close to 50-50. I'm not sure. Maybe a little bit more on the instruction. The Lord repeats some things in Scripture. I think when he repeats it, we should take note of it. Paul, when he wrote the book of Colossians, repeated a lot of what he wrote in Ephesians. So the people that have the Ephesians 6:4 passage, I didn't tell them this, but can you turn over about 5, 6, 10 pages and read for me Colossians 3:21.
Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart.
Go ahead.
Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged.
I find it's very interesting that when Paul repeated this, the part he repeated was not the instruction part. Because a lot of us guys, we want to solve things, engineer things, do stuff. And the training instruction we can kind of gravitate to. But we have to be careful in what we're doing. Because we don't want to exasperate our children either by not doing anything or doing things the wrong way, being overzealous maybe without thinking about totally what you're doing. So I think it's very interesting that Paul repeats that. And I'll come back to that toward the end. Now the third one, in Luke, we said we ended the Old Testament really on the fathering. Luke chapter 1 in this gospel is sort of the start of the New Testament. And let's look at what he says. Who's got the Luke passage?
Luke 1:17. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared person.
Okay. Notice what was repeated word for word, the fathers to the children there. The second part, he changes. It's kind of interesting. Instead of children, what does he put there? Anyone want to say? Well, he puts disobedient there. Instead of fathers, turn the hearts to the children, children to the fathers, he puts the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. And the reason I want to bring that up is your two-year-old wasn't a perfect person that all of a sudden just had a bad day and needs to be corrected that day. They were born just like us, disobedient, sinful nature, selfish, and every way else. And part of our intentionality is to bring them to the wisdom of the righteous. So we have a responsibility. But I didn't want to jump to that first because we can be exasperating if it's done incorrectly. Now, I'm not going to spend time today talking about methods of discipline, for example. I have a lot of handouts and things for you to read because that I could send you off half-cocked in an hour thing. I just wanted to bring up these key subjects with you so you know where we're going. Therefore, if we're going to bring them from disobedience to righteousness, we're going to have to do some things. Now, who has the Hebrews passage?
Hebrews 12 and 11. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Okay. So we get to be involved in that, unfortunately painful at times, but bringing the training, the discipline to the children so that we might have a harvest of peace.
So Hebrews 12:10-11. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way.
And I'll add to that, we do it as we know best, as we learn from the Word of God and from the wisdom of other people that also know the Word of God. But we've got to bring our children to that point by providing the discipline. And now I want to move on to say that should not be your major part of parenting, that you're on the couch and only when they're disobedient do you engage them. So that leads me to the final verse, which I'm going to read that you have in your notes. 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. For you know that we dealt with you as a father deals with his children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. I'm reading that from the NIV. You may have something different, but I like the way this translation does it. Let me just repeat that. For you know that we dealt with you as a father deals with his children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. That should be, hopefully, the encouraging, comforting, and urging should be, hopefully, the large percentage of your time that you spend with your children. You have to be engaged and intentional. And that's my key thing with this workshop, is getting you to think about those things. And I want to read a quote from James Dobson I thought was kind of interesting. He says, on a question, over the 40 years of dealing with parents and children, what is the very best disciplinary advice you can offer? What technique or method would help us manage our kids better than anything you've seen attempted? And his answer was this. My answer may not be what you expected, but it represents something I've observed frequently and know to be valid. The best way to get your children to do what you want is to spend time with them before disciplinary problems occur. Having fun together and enjoying mutual laughter and joy. When those moments of love and closeness happen, kids are not as tempted to challenge and test limits. Many confrontations can be avoided by building friendships with kids and therefore making them want to cooperate at home. It sure beats anger as a motivator. And I think that's a good thing, because one of the books that I'll mention at the end is a possible resource for you. It talks about a lot of times we're not engaged and then something happens and we swoop in like an eagle to correct things. And then we kind of go away again. And that's not the type of parenting we need to be. Now, I've given you another handout. It's part of the acronyms I was saying, TRY, T-R-Y. One of them is a questionnaire for you personally on your time to get you thinking about how you spend your time. The flip side is resources, and I list a few things to get you thinking of what type of resources you have. And what I'd like you to do is break up into groups. I'm thinking 5 or 6 would probably be better, but depending on how we're seated, what works for you. Spend some time on the first one, that time inventory. Then you can discuss that in your group a little bit and then look at the resources and talk about what resources you have to bear. The note on the father handout and resources at the end, I think, is why I have some of the things there, is one key point I wanted to make was growing as a disciple, a husband, and a father are interrelated and impact each other. We can compartmentalize a lot of things in our lives, but these are not separate compartments. They all interrelate to each other. So if y'all like to break up and talk, once you break up, do the time part first. Okay? Okay. Did everyone find that their time management was beautiful?
Perfect?
Come up here. You're the next speaker. Come on. From what discussions I saw, it sounded like a lot of y'all were doing quite a bit of thinking, explaining the situations in your life and the challenges that you face, from what I could tell. Anyone want to share anything about what they thought about that or something that they'd like to work on? Go ahead.
I think probably most people in today's economy and society part of this way is the main thing I need to work on is the separation from home and work.
Okay.
For me, I work at my job between 40 to 50 hours a week, and then I bring it home for another 20 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the separation from work never happens.
Okay.
Yeah, I do this for my family, but because of that, my family suffers.
Just be careful what you say when you say you're doing it for your family.
To provide.
Yeah. But be careful how much provision you provide. Just think about it. I can't change your situation. I don't know your details, but
completely. And I wish I could work less, but to make bills and what
I understand.
And so at the same time, I kind of feel crappy because I'm not there for my children to. They're sitting right next to me while I'm working. I spend that one-on-one time.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side of it, to make the house note and everything like that, it's like, well, mm-hmm. I've got to do this. It's kind of one of those, like, win-win, lose-lose kind of.
This works better with my statement to you would be some good mentors, maybe spend some time in the Word and prayer and just make sure that you think what you're doing is the best thing you could be doing. Because I don't know the details, but God does.
Oh, it's definitely not, but.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Anyone else? Anyone else like to? Go ahead.
We talked a lot about modeling behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So whether, you know, we're daughters modeling the way men should treat women,
mm-hmm.
the way husbands should love our mm-hmm. wives. You know, we talked about when you come home from work, kiss your wife first, and then, you know, say hi to your children. So a lot of kids will pick up the way you act.
Mm-hmm.
So modeling is something important.
So you think some modeling speaks more than words sometimes?
Generally, always.
Oh, really?
People won't follow what you say, but they will often follow what you do.
Yeah.
How do we come out on resources? What resources can we bring to bear on these?
Other fathers.
Hmm?
Other fathers.
Okay, so sharing, relationships, mentoring, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Well, when we were young, about all we had was the Bible. So we read the book of Proverbs, and all our kids got spanked. But
while you're reading
the Thanks for sharing. Okay. Anyone else?
One of the guys in our group just kind of pointed out the obvious, but it just church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a fellowship around of other men in different mm-hmm. stages of life that have already gone through certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ideas and help, encouragement from them.
Okay. Let me ask the question. How many of you leave your home, I don't care whether you're going to take an airplane flight, go on a camping trip, drive 100 miles or 1,000 miles, but have a week or more family vacation every year? Great. Please do that. I don't mean a mission trip either. Okay. I did that once, but I'll show you a little story. I think it was Thanksgiving of 2013. We did a lot of camping and cabins, tents, different things. We decided around Thanksgiving, and you never know what the weather's going to give you, we went up to Memphis, Tennessee to a state park up there, and we had a cabin. And as luck would have it, about the time we got there, the coal spill came in. So it got down pretty cold. So we sat inside. And part of the time, we played cards. I saw the whole 2 years series of How to Train Your Dragon. That was kind of interesting. But we reminisced of all the times of almost stepping on a stake, of me herding a tarantula out of Devil's Den State Park's cabin in Arkansas, and all the other things. And I got to thinking about all the fun stuff that we did, all the memories, all the relationship building. And guys, I would say this. I have never planned quality time. I have planned quantity time. And somewhere in the midst of that, quality developed. But I've never planned quality time. And I hear people saying, oh, I'm planning quality time. No, you're planning quantity time. And out of that will go quality. There'll be some moments that be just great that will flow from maybe 10 times that amount of time that weren't even thinking about it. So we mentioned mentors. Did anyone mention the Bible? I think Mike did. You mentioned the Bible, okay. Anyone mention prayer as a resource? Does everyone have a prayer sheet with things about your wife and kids on it that you have in front of you during your quiet time? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't want to embarrass anyone. If you don't, please do. Please do. So I mentioned family vacations. One thing that's been very helpful to us, I did not realize this, but I found as we went from young kids starting school all the way to graduating and going to college, that whatever we did as far as sharing or planning that had to do with mealtime, it continued. My kids still will share their day from school and share with us what's going on, but we started it when they were small. So there's a lot of things that you start as a habit can continue forward and help. I just share that with you. Even though they're small, think about the habits that you do. As I mentioned earlier, you are a complete package. So your time in the Word, your time in prayer, your time being mentored, your time with your wife, your time with each individual kids or as a family vacation or at the dinner table, It's all part of one big package. Now, I have some other resources for you. You have that handout there? I figured if I gave you 25 books of all the things I could think of, you'd file this away and be overwhelmed. So what I did was try to be very strategic. I have five things down here. The first two are by pastors. The first one is totally free. If you go to gciweb.org, a good friend of mine and the guy that's helped me here, Kurt, named John Mann, some of you may know him, lives in Houston. I happen to be related to his ministry, do some things for his ministry. Well, he's got a complete set of things on parenting, Bible studies, four of the Bible studies I have over here. I have a copy for everyone can take one. Another thing I have from him is this is a bookmark. I have enough of these probably for everyone. One side's praying for your children. One side's praying for you and how you relate to your children. So the bookmark's both sides. But if you like some to hang up, we have one half on one side, then the other half. So I have they're going to be two separate sheets. So I have that as resources up here that you can have. The second one, I think it's still in print. There may be a newer version, also by a pastor, Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. So those two are by pastors. I find the Christian psychiatrists take a little bit of a different knack on a few things. This is the new version of Dr. Dobson's Dare to Discipline. This one, if I can find it on Amazon, there may be a new version, or you may have to go to, this is from the Minrich Meyer Clinic. Three dads, they're psychiatrists that wrote this. I find, as a broad brush, that the pastors will tend to rely more on what the scripture says about spanking and the rod in general. The Christian psychiatrists tend to bring a lot more other stuff in. And I don't know totally why, but I get to thinking that the Christian psychiatrist has seen, how can I put this, discipline gone wrong. They get to see the people that the family's been torn apart by anger management issues. You have to be in control to do certain things. So I think they see a wider range of things, of issues, that you have to presuppose what the person's going to do with what you tell them. So I just say I see a little bit broader brush. A few things people just have different thoughts about, and you need to take the time to figure out what you believe, what works, what you think works, and apply it. Okay? All these are good resources. And the fifth one, how many know about the Every Man a Warrior series? How many people have went through book two? Okay? Very good. Two people. This is an entire series. The first book's on quiet time, prayer, getting into the Word. Fairly typical navigator type material. This one, half of it's on your marriage, relating to your wife, loving your wife. The other half is on parenting, relating to your children and spending time with them. This is a very good resource. You can get these on the web. Just put Google Every Man a Warrior. So I give you these five in three topics so that hopefully this won't overwhelm you, but will give you some key tools to work with to help you in addition to the Bible itself and mentors and other fathers. That's pretty much all I had, except if you noticed on the back of the resource form, I got the idea from the Minrich Meyer book. I shortened some of them and added to some of them, but 12 things you do not want to do. This is the first one is totally opposite of what we're talking about today. Don't spend time with them. Just replace your time with gifts and work all the time. I love the one I read 20 years ago from the 15-year-old in Florida that wrecked his second Corvette. I kind of wonder what the father was doing, you know, as far as how this happened. You know, competing with them, that's not very good. So anyway, you can read through these, and you might find, maybe not this blatantly, but you might find yourself in one of these. Okay? So take the time to read through this. I hope you've enjoyed this. We're probably finishing 5 or 10 minutes early, if y'all want to, we can take a little more discussion. I've never heard anybody complain about me finishing early. I know some of you are just disgusted about that, but any other comments anyone would like to share?
Can't I just keep being like kids at all sports?
You know, one thing that I don't want to say too much on this because this is recorded for all eternity, but I can remember my two daughters chasing me, and you know, I should have let them catch me more. There's a lot of stuff we get going. You know, it's hard to purposely lose at a game so that you don't overwhelm your child that's got an 8-year-old mind and you've got a 48-year-old mind or something. So there's some things you do out of love. Sometimes we have to fight against our normal winning attitude to do that. Conquer at all costs.
I'm not giving them a big head out of love.
I hope y'all have enjoyed this. Fill out your evaluation forms. Hopefully there will be at least some positive ones. So, thank you.